Welcome to the City of Refuge podcast, where our mission is to equip a diverse community of Christ followers to make him known.
Amen. You may be seated, please. Good morning, everyone. My name is Lionel Jellins, and I am an elder here at City of Refuge, and I am very happy to be here in front of you. This is my birthday week, and I am officially old as of this week. On Monday, I turned 65 years of age, and when you turn 65 years, thank you, applause. When you turn 65 years of age, the government says that you're so old, you have to have Medicare because to take care of yourself. And the donut places want to give you discounted donuts, and the hotels give you discounted rooms to do things of that nature. So there's some advantages of being old, and there's another advantage that I didn't think about is that when you wear a mask, it's better when you're an older person like I am, because let's just say I have more lines in my face than those of you who are young do. And I've actually tested it out. I was in the grocery store a couple of weeks ago, and there was this little baby sitting there in the little buggy there, and he's maybe 8 months old or something. He was looking around, and I had my mask on, so I gave him the biggest grin I possibly could to see if somehow he could see the expression on my face with a mask on. And sure enough, he returned the best, most heartwarming grin you could have ever imagined, and it was wonderful. So this morning, look at my eyes, because you're not going to be able to see anything else, to sort of get a sense of where I am as I give our sermon this morning. As you probably know, over the last few weeks, we have been preaching from the book of Philippians. I think this is the fourth sermon from the book of Philippians, and I think there are a couple, three more. And I'd like to give you sort of a setup of where things are going, so you'll know as we talk through it this morning what the subject is about. So in Philippians, the Apostle Paul wrote this as a thank you letter to the church in Philippi. At the time, Paul was about 62 years of old, so he's actually younger than I am. And to put that in perspective, in those days, the life expectancy was about 35 years of age. So the fact that Paul was 62 years of age suggests that it was still pretty special. He was really an unusually older person, if you will, and certainly respected. At the time also, Timothy had been a companion with Paul for about 12 years. They had met during one of the early missionaries runs of Paul and had been with him serving him for about 12 years. Timothy was 31 at the time. Paul himself was a Greek-speaking Jew from Asia Minor, which is currently modern-day Turkey. He was a tent maker. He was also a Pharisee, so he has quite a background. The letter that was written from prison, where he was being tended to and assisted by Timothy and also by a fellow by the name of Epaphroditus. Epaphroditus was from Philippi, and the church sent Epaphroditus to assist Paul, who was in prison at the time. And so this was sort of a thank you note that Paul was writing, thanking the church for Epaphroditus coming and assisting him. A couple of other pieces of fun facts is Philippi is on the north end of the Aegean Sea. It's north and east of Greece, if you will. It's about 400 miles from Athens, or about a one-hour flight. Back in those days, it might have taken a couple of 3 months to get there, unless you were wealthy enough to use a ship, which could actually take you to the port in Philippi. But it wasn't around the corner. It was quite a ways away. And Paul was in Rome, probably, we think, as opposed to Greece. So it was this tremendous trek to get from where he was to Philippi. And so we're looking at a thank you letter that Paul wrote to the church of Philippi for sending Epaphroditus. So, first question I have for you this morning, what if we were to write a letter to the people of the church of City of Refuge at Yellowstone? So imagine if we wanted to write a letter to the people here at this church and say, we really want to support you. We're really with you. We're praying on you. We're loving on you. And oh, by the way, you've got some dissension in the church, and we want to talk about the things that you can do in your church to really follow God's spirit and do what God instructs you to do. That's sort of what was going on with Paul. He was writing this thank you letter to the people of Philippians, thanking them for Epaphroditus and also advising them on ways that they can get closer to God. That's what we're going to be talking about this morning. We're going to be talking about what he asked them to do. We're going to be talking about Epaphroditus and Timothy and the way in which they they carried themselves in their own ministries. The scriptures we'll be talking to you are part of our series, and a couple of weeks ago, Brandon kicked off this series by confirming that this intended to equip us all and to share the gospel through a spirit-filled life of wholeness of love. A spirit-filled life of wholeness and love. Today, we'll be talking about those three folks that I mentioned a moment ago, Paul, Epaphroditus, and Timothy. And a common theme that we're going to see in each one of them is they were servants in a way that spread the gospel. Servants is a way that spread the gospel. Their minds were made up such they would serve in a way to make him known. Remember that because we're going to be talking about the mind of Christ and being a humble servant with humility in serving for the Lord. As I proceed with you today, I ask you to keep your mind on that, on serving. How are you serving? And as you serve, what is the goal of the service that you're providing? So think about being a servant. Think about serving in a humble way and how that makes a difference for Christ. Let us pray. We study the time in the life of Paul where he displayed service to Christ and where Epaphroditus and Timothy lived a life of service. We pray to understand how we are to serve you. Give each of us a glimpse into the mind of Christ and let us know your will in our lives. Then teach us to be a light to the world, to draw all people near to you. Lord, help me speak this morning with clarity and truth as we study your word. For those of us that are early in our walk with Christ, help us discern direction. For those of us among us that have known and studied your word for many years, allow my humble voice to reinforce and strengthen your faith. Amen. Our scripture this morning, obviously from Philippians, is from the second chapter of Philippians. We'll be studying verses 12 through 18 and talking about verses 19 and 30. The first speaks about the role of us as Christ followers. What are we supposed to do as Christ followers? The second gives examples of Timothy and Epaphroditus as willing servants that model Christ's sacrifice. So we're going to be talking what are we supposed to do and how did Timothy and Epaphroditus actually model that. The first piece, by the way, we're going to be talking about an additional scripture, that a bonus scripture, if we will, that Elijah talked about last week, and that's from Philippians 2, 3 through 5. So we're going to start with that this morning as our first scripture. The subject of this, verses 3 through 5, we'll say is the mind of Christ. Be the mind of Christ. I read from the ESV. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Jesus Christ. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Jesus Christ. So this passage says basically two things. Number one, that you are to be humble and to serve others. Humble and serve others. Do nothing from selfish ambition, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Notice that Paul is saying here that you're to look out after other people's interests in addition to your own. He's not saying only look out for other people's interests or only to look out for your own, but to make sure that you're also looking out for the interests of others. It also speaks to the mind of Christ that we should have in life together. In the mindset that Paul is speaking of, he talks about the servant attitude of both Timothy and Epaphroditus. We're supposed to serve. Count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only after your own interests, but after the interests of others. So think in terms of Epaphroditus, who traveled all the way from Philippi just to serve and look after Paul. That is the mind of Christ he's talking about. When we think, what are we supposed to do? What are we supposed to do as Christ followers? We're supposed to be humble and we're supposed to serve others. And that'll be our topic. A couple of questions as we go along. How are you looking after the interests of others? Are you? Are you just looking after yourselves? Are you looking after your family, your older parents perhaps? Or are you out in the community looking after the people in need? Are you looking after for homeless people? Are you looking after people that are poor and kicked out of their homes? How are you serving? There are many ways that we can serve. We'll be talking about a number of them, specifically in the way in which Timothy and Epaphroditus did. But do you have a mind of Christ in your attitude towards serving others? your attitude towards serving others. You know, I'll freely admit, I have had a bit of problem in my life understanding and connecting and really living a Christian mind with regards to homeless people. Sometimes I drop up and I grumble and I'm going like, can't they go out and get a job and why are they here? But I recognize that God is calling me to understand that they've had a different plight in their lives, and I must do what it takes for me to serve humbly and in humility those people. So I try my best to do those sorts of things. Let's go on now to our second scripture, and that is to work out your salvation. Work out your salvation is from the 12th and 13th verse. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. Therefore, with the words work out your own salvation really translates out to me work out thoroughly in a manner similar to exhausting a mine or harvesting an entire crop. So when you're mining, let's say you've got a copper mine, the goal is to mine all of the copper out of that mine. Or if you're a farmer and your crop is ready, we don't want to take all of the crop in, not just part of it. So to work out thoroughly means to go and completely fulfill your task. To work out our faith is to complete the journey that Christ has granted for us for our salvation. We work out our faith by doing those things that are pleasing to God. Note here it says work out our salvation, not work on our salvation. And that's important. If we want to work out our faith, it's like going to the gym. We want to work out our muscles, we got to pump big iron, right? If we want big muscles, got to pump big iron. If we want big faith, well, gosh, we have to work out our salvation. It's exactly the same as working out. Our salvation is not something that we earn, but it's something that is given to us by Christ on the cross. So we have our salvation is given to us, but do we just sort of take it for granted and sort of keep it in the back of our mind and keep it in the back of our heart? Or do we work out our salvation? What Paul is saying here is that it is important for us to work that out. Let me give you another example. Oh, about 5 years ago, I was having difficulty walking. I'm a scoutmaster, if some of you all know, so I'm always in the woods walking up and down hills where I could no longer keep up with my Boy Scouts. And they're 11 to 18, so it's hard to keep up with them anyway. But I was having difficulty with my left knee, so I went to the doctor and I said, Doc, look, my left knee's not working. He says, no problem. You've got good insurance. We can take care of you. We'll give you a new knee. And so there, no problem. I went and I had a knee replacement. It's really sort of interesting how they do that. The full knee replacement solved the problem. However, as I was leaving the hospital, the doctor said, oh, by the way, here are the medications you need to take, and you need to rehab your knee. So I had this new knee, but if I didn't rehab my knee, if I did not work out my knee, it would not be of much use to me. I'd still be stumbling around in pain. So I had been given this great opportunity with the knee. I had to work it out. So we're given this great opportunity with salvation from Christ. We have to work it out. And one of the ways that we work it out is we serve others in a humble manner with humility. That's one of the methods of doing so, having a mind of Christ and understand what he intends for us to be a servant with humility is to work out our own salvation. We work out our salvation with fear and trembling. That doesn't mean we do so being afraid of God. It means we do it with great reverence, reverential awe, if you will, based on love. Another author put it, a nervous and trembling anxiety to do right as we work out our salvation. God is in us and with us as we work out our salvation. His grace is there to enable us to succeed. So we're not on our own when we're working at our salvation. We have God with us as we're working at our salvation. A similar passage that I'd like to speak through is in 2 Peter, 1st chapter, verses 5 through 8. So if you work out in the gym, often what you do is you have a workout plan. I'm going to do so many push-ups, so many sit-ups. I'm going to run for 5 miles on the treadmill or what have you. Well, similar, the Bible gives us instructions on how to work out our salvation from 2 Peter 1:5-8. For this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and virtue with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with steadfastness, and steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. To work out your salvation is to know Christ. To work out your salvation is to share Christ with others. To work out your salvation is to serve humbly while you're sharing the good news with those who don't know it. A couple of questions. So serving with humility is just one way to work out your salvation. What are some other ways? We might imagine praying, praising, sharing the gospel with others, teaching and study of the world. We'll find, as we talk a little bit later today, there are a lot of ways that you can work out your salvation, and that both Timothy and Epaphroditus and Paul were working out their salvation in a number of ways in which they were serving humbly. Third scripture for this morning. It talks about being the light of the world. And from Philippians 2nd chapter 14th and 18th verse says that you are to become the light for the world. Our behavior, our actions of service, our willingness to share the good news must be as a light for the world. So again, I'm going to read from the ESV verses 14 and 15. Do all things without grumbling or disputing, that you may be blameless and innocent, children of God without blemish in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast to the word of life. So when the scripture says you must be blameless and innocent in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, it is a reference to the wilderness generation of Moses and the Israelites as they're going to the promised land. If you recall in these passages, many of the Israelites were grumbling. They were following Baal. They were not following the commandments that they were lent down to them. And Moses was frustrated with regards to them not doing what they were called to do by the Lord. So he described them as a crooked and twisted generation. They were constantly complaining and didn't follow his commands. You're not to be those people. Paul is saying you're not to be those people. The reference is in Deuteronomy 32, verses 4 through 6, which is part of a song sung by Moses so that the Israelites remember and understand their plight while wandering through the desert. It's really a quite extraordinary song. I'm not going to sing it, but I'm going to read through it quickly. Okay, and verses 4 through 6. The rock, that is God, his work is perfect, for all his ways are justice, a God of faithfulness and without iniquity. Just and upright is he. They have dealt corruptly with him. They are no longer his children because they are blemished. They are a crooked and twisted generation. Do you thus repay the Lord, you foolish and senseless people? Moses is highlighting the wickedness and humanity amongst the Israelites. Paul may have been looking at the same situation and comparing it to what was going on in the church of Philippi. As I mentioned earlier, there was dissension going on in the church of Philippi, and he was trying to inform them to look out for these crooked and twisted generation. Don't be like them. Instead, to be a light to the world of the positive love of Christ. God's commands were given to be obeyed without grumbling or disputing or being argued with. He gave us a command, those commands for a purpose. Holding fast to the word of life, which ends this passage, means both believing God's word and following it. So part of working out your salvation is sharing the word of life, the good news, with others. There are, as I mentioned earlier, a number of passages that talk about being the light of the world. I'll mention a few of them. In the Beatitudes in Matthew 5, verses 14 through 16, it says, "You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." Hallelujah. That we can be a light to the world and show the path that Christ has given to us. He said in John 8:12, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." That's a big deal. In Genesis 15:5, God was talking to Abraham, and he brought him outside and said, "Look toward heaven and number the stars. If you are able to number them, so shall your offspring be." Those stars were a light to the world. Paul is asking us be a light to the world. So, how can you be that light? What can you do to be that light? What is your mindset that you must have? What is your attitude that allows you to be a light to the world, a light to the lost? Has Paul demonstrated being a light himself through his work establishing the church? I'd say that yes, he has been. The Apostle Paul clearly has been a light to the world. So we've talked about these three topics so far this morning. We've talked about to be the mind of Christ, to work out your salvation, and be the light of the world. Or said another way, think like Christ, share his good news, and be a light for the world. Think like Christ, share his good news, and be a light for the world. We are to have a mind of Christ, where all of our pride and sinfulness has been emptied out of us, such that all that remains is that of a servant. And by doing so, we become lights of the world in a way that Paul models his own life and beseeches the Philippians to do. And finally, we are to work out our own salvation given to us by Christ. I want to take a quick detour for a second. For the kids out there listening on, this is something that you can maybe connect with. How many of you all remember those little wristbands that people would get that said, "What would Jesus do?" Maybe you had one. I had one, and I went digging around for it. And it's amazing how much stuff you can have stuffed around after 65 years. I went through boxes of all sorts of dusty, found a lot of cool stuff. Found a picture of my wife when she was 8. I don't know how that got into those boxes, but found a lot of stuff, but I couldn't find my band. The whole concept of the "What Would Jesus Do" band is you would have it on your arm, and from time to time, when you have challenges in your day, you look down and says, "Oh, okay, let me think about what would Jesus do." Similarly to have a mind of Christ is to be considering, as you go through your day, how should I be behaving and how should I be serving others in a very humble way? So, let's see how this goes right. We're going to make one of those bands real quick. I'm going to show the kids out there in the audience how to make one, and maybe you consider doing it. So I'm going to get a couple of tools and craft things here. I'm going to get a piece of paper, and we're going to cut a little strip out of it. All right. Put this over here. I'm then going to get this piece of paper, and I'm going to put the initials, "What Would Jesus Do," on it. I'm also going to put in the back of mine the scripture from Philippians on there. And then I'm going to do the hard part, which is I'm going to put it on my wrist, one hand, social distance. I can't ask anybody to help, of course. And we're going to hold up my nose, get my staple gun. We're going to try this once, and if it doesn't work, I'm going to go on, because we don't have all morning. Almost. Oops. This worked really well this morning. So I'm going to put this in my pocket, and I'm going to look at this from time to time during the day, because that didn't work out. But we're not going to have a blooper on our sermon this morning. The bottom line is, you have to remember to have a mind of Christ and do those things that help you remember that. A "What Would Jesus Do" band is one way of doing it. So, finally, let's give some examples of what it means to have a mind of Christ. We're going to use the examples that Paul provides as Timothy and Epaphroditus. He writes of these two individuals that have demonstrated a mind of Christ, a mind of service. If you read this, however, if you read the scripture, it seems sort of mundane. It's like, why in the world would Paul take this part of the Bible to talk about his travel plans, because that really is what it sounds like. Well, I'm going to go here when I feel a little bit better, and maybe if these guys go there, then we'll go here. And Epaphroditus is going to go over there, and Timothy a little bit later. That's what it sounds like when you read it. I'm going like, this is sort of mundane. I mean, why do I really need to know the travel plans of these couple of folks? Until you realize that these folks are worth imitating for the way in which they serve the Lord's purpose with humility and grace. That's what we recognize. Not their travel plans, but they were very intent on how they were going to serve with the mind of Christ. So let's talk about Timothy. Philippians 2:19 to 24 describes a co-minister, brother, helper, secretary, helper, and companion with him for many years. I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon so that I too may be cheered by news of you, for I have no one like him who will be genuinely concerned for your welfare. Genuinely concerned for your welfare. For they all seek their own interests, not of Jesus Christ. Paul is saying that he believes Timothy is particularly qualified to help and support the people in Philippi. He then goes on to say, how as a son with a father, he has served with me in the gospel. A more literal translation is, his proven character you know. So he was sending Timothy to Philippi because he had a known character, a known proven character for them. In his mind, Timothy has indeed been a light to the world. He has aided Paul and he's helped bring the good news to Christians all over the known world. Challenging question. In what way has Timothy exhibited a mind of Christ? Well, through service, by being a light of the world. Epaphroditus. There were two words that for me were very useful in the study preparing for the sermon and helped me learn to spell a couple of things. Now I know how to spell Philippians with just one L and then two P's, and I also know how to spell Epaphroditus with a PH. So whatever that's worth, that was for me a very useful thing. So Philippians 25 and 27th verses say, I have thought it necessary to send you to you Epaphroditus, my brother and fellow worker and fellow soldier, and your messenger and minister to my need. For he has been longing for you all and has been distressed because you heard that he was ill. Indeed, he was ill, need to death. So Epaphroditus was clearly concerned for the others for about his own welfare. Instead of worrying about his own health, he was concerned that the people in Philippi were worried about him. Selfless, humble, concerned, serving, and concerned about other people. The fact that the church of Philippi had the mind of Christ, for example, to send Epaphroditus in the first place also tells us that not only do us as individuals should be servants, but also we as a church should be servants. We as a church should share humility and do things for others. So in what other ways can a church have a mind of Christ and serve in the dark as a light to the word? In what other ways can we serve here at City of Refuge? In what other ways can we be like Epaphroditus and Timothy and Paul? Why is the service of Paul and Timothy and Epaphroditus important? Because it shows that all three men are ready for the ultimate sacrifice. To death, because they all traveled to the ends of the known world to serve, because they did serve with humility, because they demonstrated a mind and attitude for Christ and served as lights of the world. If we look at City of Refuge, we have our own Epaphrodituses, if you will. We have our own people in our own congregation who are serving humbly throughout. In fact, of the 150 or so people in this church, at least 100 of them are serving in some way, in some capacity. And that's wonderful. As an elder, it makes me very proud to see and witness the many people of our church going out and serving not just the people within our church, worship services, what have you, but also people in our community. I thought I'd go through a quick list of some of those Epaphrodituses here at City of Refuge. So I've got a list of about 10 of them. There are a lot more of these. So if you're not in there, it's only because I only had so many to speak through. The first I'm going to mention is Yuli Kang. She volunteers to make our social media work. Because of our social media, people can find where we are and come and join us. Prisca Tiffon also helps with our social media and works with our teens. Bo York is the mastermind of all this technology that you see around us. Without him, we would be mute to the world. Martin Dullard has created and is spearheading a successful men's ministry and a discipleship program for men that didn't exist a year ago. Brian Kao has been at his side all along, sending out information, doing surveys, and supporting and helping what we're doing. My wife, Shark, and Stephen Drea have been working to revive our local missions ministry, and Stephen has, in fact, been working on our global missions ministry for many years. Tiffany Tahuan helps in the women's ministry. We have a successful women's ministry because of her and several others. Darren Hansen and Matt Stengel are teaching a Bible study class on Deuteronomy as we speak. And the list goes on and on. These are all people that are working out their salvation by serving with humility. And all of these folks are considering the mind of Christ, and they're lights to the world. So I ask you this final question. How about you? How are you serving? How are you serving in an humble manner? And are you considering the mind of Christ? Let us pray. Lord, give us a mind of Christ so that we may see the joy of service in the way of Timothy and Epaphroditus. Lord, break us of our pride, righteousness, and self-interest as we might break a horse, and leave it in its place the humble, peaceful, and content mind of Jesus Christ. In joy we pray and praise you. Amen.